German language. And as we know, often when teaching a language, they also try to teach you the culture. And sometimes the easiest way to begin to form the words of the language are to sing it. And so often now when we teach language, we teach songs along with dialogue. And one of the songs which we were taught in our study of German was called Die Lorelei. And it has this beautiful beginning. I'll sing just one line of it in German. It goes, Ich weiß nicht, was soll es bedeuten, dass ich so traurig bin. It's very luring, and it's a beautiful folk song. But when we studied what the song was about, it was written, it's a poem by Heinrich Heine, and it's a story about a mermaid, a lovely mermaid on the rocks of the Rhine River, who sings in such melodic tones that she lures the people in ships to jump to see her where they drown, or even worse, their ships come against the rocks and are smattered and they all die. And we said, wow, what a bleak folk song. We decided to actually stick our toe into the world of advertising and say, this would be a great beer ad. You know, we even wrote the song, Don't Drown, Let It Be Lowenbrow, as an alternative, really, to being killed by the mermaid. So, we know these, every culture, every language has these songs of the tempter or the temptress who lure us to our death. How many of us grew up with Aesop's fables? Whether it was the cat pretending the cat was asleep to trick the mice to come out, or the cobbler trying to trick the king saying he had the remedy to all illnesses, or even Little Red Riding Hood being tempted by the wolf who has swallowed the grandmother. Stories of temptation and being lured to our death are replete in literature. And so it's only natural that the genre of literature that is the Holy Scriptures would also have stories of temptation. From the temptation, the all too familiar temptation we read in the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis, to Jesus being tempted in the desert today. And what each of us wants to do when we hear this is, the message of the Scriptures is this, avoid temptation. We pray for it in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. So as we begin this first season of Lent, we should avoid temptation. And I think we also know that it's dangerous to give a simplistic understanding of the faith. I remember when my oldest brother posited a simplistic understanding of the faith. He was 17 years old and he had read the life of St. Augustine. He didn't read the Confessions, but he was studying the saints and he read the life of St. Augustine. As we know, St. Augustine began studying at the age of 17 and lost his faith. And really, he didn't come back to the faith till he was 31 after his mother, St. Monica, prayed for him. So my brother said at a 17-year-old age to my mother, I'm not going to Mass today. He said, I'm going to take the St. Augustine approach. I'll skip Mass, I'll come back when I'm 31, and you can go and pray for me. Well, needless to say, he did go to Mass that day, because my mother would have none of it. But a simplistic understanding is not the message of St. Augustine. So too, we should not think that the simplistic message of today's readings is simply avoid temptation. Now, of course, we do have to avoid certain temptations. When one thinks of the seven deadly sins, wrath and sloth and gluttony and greed and lust and envy and pride, no one should want to be tempted by those. But simply avoiding such temptation perhaps could be underachieving. And someone who gives us this week an insight into why is Pope Francis. Pope Francis was addressing the clergy of Rome, and he said to them, faith cannot grow without temptation. That's a very radical, bold statement. Faith cannot grow without temptation. Why did he say it? Well, he said, you know, what happens often when we try to set a course of life where we're going to avoid every temptation, we remove ourselves from life. We diminish ourselves against the challenges of the world, and we feel that playing it safe is better than taking a risk for the conversion and the transformation of hearts. Now, we find ourselves in this early time of Lent, a few days into Lent, All of us have probably chosen either to abstain from something or to do something. Have we felt in these 3 days a temptation to either take what we said we'd give up or not do what we said we would do? Because if we have felt that temptation, then perhaps we've made a good promise for Lent. But if we haven't faced that yet, maybe we need to do something more. Because faith cannot grow without temptation. Think about the gospel story. The gospel story shows all that the devil offers to Jesus. Consumption, power, control of the world. And Jesus responds by saying, "Get away from me, Satan." And we think by saying that, then he chose the next logical route to be our Savior and Messiah. There was a third route. There was indeed a third route. Jesus could have said, "Ooh, that devil is scary. I don't ever want to face the devil again. And if I decide to hear God's call and be the Savior and Messiah, that devil's going to tempt me again." And so Jesus had the freedom to say, "You know what? I'm going to go back to my carpentry shop. I'm going to lock myself out from the world. I'm going to do my duty, build beautiful things, and wake me up when all this chaos is ended." He had that choice. But he knew that his faith could not grow without temptation, that he would in fact indeed meet the devil again as he was tempted in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in doing so, as St. Paul so beautifully says, the obedience of one brought righteousness for the many. Today, our catechumens will sign the book of the elect. Joseph and Gabriella, Jake, Cordelia, Katie, Lily, Matthew, and Jeff will sign that book and begin really the last days before they come into the faith, the vigil of Easter. They'll go to the cathedral where they'll meet with Cardinal Wuerl. And we are not just spectators to this signing the book of elect. We are here to give witness to the faith that our faith cannot grow without temptation, that we too must immerse ourselves fully in this world. And if Lent is indeed going to be for us a time and a period of spiritual strengthening, it calls us to go into the world to meet the tempter and pray for the obedience on a daily basis to be obedient to the will of God. Such is our faith. Such is our call. Such is our hope this Lent.